From time to time, you find the need to migrate your website from one URL policy to another URL policy, but how do you make sure that all those people who bookmarked your site back in Internet Explorer 1.0 can still get to those pages?
Let's mash on that.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. In today's episode, we're going to play with URL rewriting.
Yes, we are. Okay, so URL rewriting was something that, I mean, it's been around in MVC and ASP.NET for some time. I want to say I'm thinking back like probably at least 5 or 6 years in some form or another native to the framework. There were tools that you could install in IIS that would allow you to do rewriting as well. You could write your own modules and handlers, things like that. So it was only a matter of time before it surfaced here in ASP.NET Core. And with the release of 1.1, they've added it as a library available to us. So the first thing that you're going to do in order to add it. Now, what URL rewriting does, there's a few things. Let me start up let's give some examples here. So first of all, get it a little bit bigger so we can all see it. So if somebody, maybe you want to ensure for a number of reasons. I know that there were previously SEO reasons. I don't know if these are true still, but maybe for policies or for particular middleware or particular services that you've got running, maybe even just for logging purposes, you want to make sure that, you know, in order to collapse everything without having to do any advanced log processing, you just want anything that goes to mydomain.com. Heck, do you know what? We actually have a domain, guys. I don't know if you know this, but you can go to ASP.NET Monsters.com, and you will actually see a blog there. So if you want everybody who goes to ASP.NET Monsters.com to go to www.ASP.NET Monsters.com, you could do that. So we can modify the host and go to a more standard name. Likewise, if you want to rather redirect everyone to ASP.NET Monsters.com because you realize that a www host name is absolutely ridiculous and nobody should have ever used it anyways, because how many public things are we exposing in browsers, and this is a weird name to get at stuff. I digress, but you could also rewrite things.
How am I going to get to my, how are people going to get to our Gopher site?
This is a good point, and I don't care. So... I think that, you know, it's a weird thing that we have to do, and maybe we should at some point talk about the birth of all of this, but the thought used to be that this would be a computer somewhere that was dedicated to running the website. And now in today's age, this no longer represents one. This can represent a farm or a cache or all kinds of other things. And it's actually kind of meaningless because we can have other things on the end here, like ports that actually get rerouted and directed to different things. So it doesn't even mean a host anymore. So it's kind of silly. In terms of what people are going to remember, you want to keep things simple. So now I've really digressed, and here we are, but we're back at ASP.NET Monsters.com. Maybe there's another reason for a rewrite. You might want to do a 302, which is a found, but then you also want to bounce them over to the secure version of your site. So you want to take any request that comes in from this, and you want it to go to something like that. Now, in the header of this episode, Simon also mentioned a rule like, hey, what if I am migrating from a routing scheme to another one? Or maybe I want to put out marketing materials that are a little bit easier to recognize or whatever the case may be. So you might want to do something like this where we have, I was going to put application, but maybe there's like something like a category and we do five or something like that. And then maybe you actually want to do something even more crazy and do something like t-shirts. Then you could actually have something that unwinds this and goes back to your categories / lookup. And then you could have a query string in there and say name equals t-shirts. Oh, sorry. I guess we could just do that. T-shirts. Make sure I spell that right, because there's We're very close to four-letter words in that one. So there's a number of different reasons why you might want to rewrite things. But certainly, if you could give a customer this instead of this, and you're in the progress of migrating, then this might be something to help you out. Likewise, you can go the other way. If all of your previous bookmarks may have looked something like this, and you're moving to a new format, then you might be able to say, let's not 404 on any of those old lookups. Let's actually instead just handle the rewrite and pass that through. So how this happens in ASP.NET Core is via middleware. We start by adding the routing middleware to our project. Again, you have to be in 1.1. So this is a project that I've already bootstrapped and thrown 1.1 in here. And you can see I've updated the framework as well. And I've added the routing. Sorry, where am I? I want to be on rewrite. There it is. Rewrite. 1.00. By adding this package, I then have access to the middleware. So in my startup, what I'm going to do in this particular case, I have taken a project and I have enabled SSL. So when I go and look in my properties here, I've just clicked this little enable SSL, and you can see here that the port is 44383. So in my startup.json, I just say add a redirect to HTTPS, and I'm just going to assume that we're found, and then we're going to pass through the new port number that we would like to anybody to use. So we're actually, if we're not using 403, which we're not in this particular case, then you can go ahead and specify the port. I do want to point out here really quickly that this should probably be something that you pull from config, because if you are developing locally, as I am here using IIS Express, I'm probably going to have a port that is a non-443 port, and that's simply because I'm working locally in IIS Express. However, when we go to production, it's probably going to be a standard port, and we don't have to append port numbers. So in this particular case, an add redirect to HTTPS would normally throw people at the well-known HTTPS port, but in this particular case, in my rule, I'm overwriting it. So now if I were to start this application, I'm going to hit Control F5 just to get it running, and we will wait for IIS to gleefully start up so quickly and get us going. And we will see that the initial port that pops up, the initial URL for the localhost, will be that 9000 port, and 9305, you can see right up here. And as soon as, you know, the application is finished starting up and we execute all of those things, then that middleware will kick in. Actually, it's not going to. Did you guys catch why it didn't do that?
No, I missed that.
No.
So I've created this rewrite options.
Oh, you didn't do anything with it though.
I didn't do anything with it. That's right. So let's use rewriter, and we will pass in our rewrite options. Badoom, badoom. I don't know if you guys knew that, but if you say badoom, badoom before you start debugging, then Visual Studio goes a lot faster.
Oh, I did not know that. I've been using Kazam.
Kazam. Ah, that was deprecated in 2013.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe I've been wasting all this time yelling Kazam before I debug.
Right, but badoom, badoom. That's your friend.
Good to know.
It's a good thing you guys work from home. Not in like a big open
cubicle. I'll have you know that we are very popular in open offices.
Okay, so here it is, still running on 9305. I'm still waiting for my build to start. And here we go. New page opens up on 9305. Actually, that's good because the old one did run on 9305, so we can still see that page rendered over there. On the new one, we can see that it's pushed me through to 44383. And of course, Chrome's freaking out because we've got a locally signed untrusted certificate, but that's as simple as it is. Now, a couple of things here. Let's actually pop back in here to the 9305. If I hit enter here, the redirect happens automatically because we've restarted the application. The other really cool thing though about this is that this module is cross-platform compliant. So by configuring the middleware of my application, I no longer have to do anything that's specific to a particular host or application server. So it doesn't matter if I'm going to Apache or Kestrel as reverse proxy behind IIS, or using IIS as a reverse proxy. This is still going to work no matter where I go. Okay. I did mention ports before. I just wanted to point out, if you, because we're in the configure method already, our services have already been configured. So if you do something, we've talked a fair bit about loading values from configuration sources across your application, having those be environment specific. We've got a lot of options here. We could either, you know, we could opt to do this only while we're in the development environment so that we don't rewrite out in prod. So that's one way to do it. Of course, I don't like, I think none of us on the call really enjoy having different code paths to execute when you're in different environments. So I would probably favor an approach where we have some kind of port configuration settings or the HTTPS port, the secure port that's being used, and we would put that in favor and read those from configuration rather than testing the environment and changing rewrite rules. Because the last thing you want is to be investigating rewrite rules that are different from environment to environment. There's probably things you want less than that, but as far as URL rewrites go, that's probably one that you want. Now, I did give an example there of, you know, back to Simon's point about, you know, if you're changing your URL routing schemes, then you might want to do something a little bit different. And in this particular case, if I'm taking a product slash number, I need that to be routed into product slash item, query string, product ID, and then having that in there. So the add rewrite is a regular expression, and this is a capture that we use, and then this is a named reference, just using the regular expression syntax there. So we can capture whatever it is that we need to, and then we can use those capture groups in order to express those as some part of the new URL. Now, in this particular case, I've got this thing called skip remaining rules. So I just want to point that out because there's some side effects here that we can have a quick conversation on. Because if you've got one matching rule and you want that to supersede and, you know, short circuit other rules from occurring, then you would be able to use the skip remaining rules property or parameter in order to block anything else happening. So in this particular case, when we do a rewrite on the 9305, which I'm going to capture before it goes away, if I were to use one of those legacy URLs, it's not going to redirect me to the SSL. So I'll go to 9305 and look at that. I have must have practiced this at least once before connecting to the call, product 42. And we can see here, oh, look at that. It did redirect on me. Interesting. Did I have that in my... What did I do? Skip remaining rules. False. Oh, that's exactly what it's supposed to do. That's wonderful. I don't want to skip remaining rules. So if I put that to true, you see, I'm not very good at Booleans, guys.
There's so many options. It's hard to keep it straight.
I know. I'm going to very anticlimactically now demonstrate what happens if I put in skip remaining rules. It's like the magician who does the reveal too early.
And now I'm going to pull a rabbit out of my hat, and the rabbit's already in his hand.
Right, something like that, exactly. Okay, so let's go back and do this again. We're going to go to the product 42, and eventually it will load. And then basically what's happening is, you know, I'm still here on 9305. It's omitted it. And what happens is it's just fallen through to the next piece of middleware to handle the request without having anything happen. So probably something to be cognizant of, our routing is configured as an options parameter inside of our MVC middleware, right? So we've got routing down here. Already, this is part of MVC. Now, you might actually configure your routes ahead of time and add those routes. So you have to be cognizant of where you might be using the rewrite options. And that pretty much covers what I wanted to chat about here this evening.
I like the idea of doing these in code versus traditionally when I've done URL rewrites, it's been using the rewrite module in IIS. So it's
doing it in XML.
Web config. XML configuration, which was always a little clumsy, I thought. This is easier to read, I think.
Have you explored at all any sort of testability around this stuff?
That's a good question. I haven't.
I was just wondering if it was possible to like take your rewrite options and then run unit tests against it, like give it some URLs and see what happens.
Ah, right. Well, I guess it's part of the middleware, and you've got an incoming request. So you would be able to see on the other side what the request looks like. So that's probably something that we can dive into a little bit deeper and maybe even do another episode on rewrite options. So if anybody's interested in seeing what it looks like to do some unit testing over the rewrite options and the rewriter rules, then please feel free, ask a question, let us know, and we will look into that.
Great. Thanks, everybody. And we'll see you all on the next episode.